Sunday school teachers, you can come on back down and just at the end of the service and get in on some laying on of hands and anointing, okay? Don't want you to miss out. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we're talking about grace awakening. We've been doing that this is our fifth week now. I hope that trusting the Lord that there's been an impartation of grace into each one of our lives, because his word never returns void. Here's just a little bit of review on the second slide. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is the empowerment to walk away from what enslaves you. Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? You can walk away from the things that enslave you. That's awesome. Grace does not cover our sin, but exposes it and gives us the power to be free from it. Grace is God's ability in you, through you, to do what you cannot do. And then the next slide, let's read it together. Grace is God's ability. Weakness is our greatest asset. Grace comes from Jesus through fellowship prayer. Grace means I'm free from sin. Breaks the power of canceled sin. Don't frustrate the grace of God. And then we learned that there were different measures of grace. And so this morning we're going to be talking about giving grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2 says, moreover, brethren, moreover, right? Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. I don't know what picture that conjures up in your mind, but when I read the word abounding, I always think of the basset hound that we used to have, and he was big and long, and he would trip on his ears a lot, but when we came into the house, he would bound up to us. He would just not just run, but you know what it's like when you see this. Yeah, I don't know why God made basset hounds. They're quite a unique animal. But anyway, and then his back end, because it was so long, would kind of get out of control, you know, and it would, well, at one point his back end actually slammed up against a vase I have, and the vase smashed because he was so busy abounding towards us. And that's what the grace of God, it abounds towards us. It's longing to run to us when we come in fellowship prayer. That's where we receive his grace. We receive his grace as we sang this morning, as we prayed together in the prayer room. We received his grace. It's just ready to be poured out to us. And so we learn too that grace transformed you. Saving grace transforms you. I once was lost. I don't know if you ever know what it's like to be lost. Once I was in British Columbia, we were doing some ministry there, and we also had, they had like a conference area, and they had tables set up, and we used to, as we traveled, we used to drag 60 t-shirts in multiples with us, and we had this big suitcase that we would drag along behind us for ministry support product. And so we would go there, and I was in British Columbia. Ace had something else to do on that day, so I went to this conference myself, and it was quite far from the place that I was staying. And I figured that I knew the way. In the daytime, I did know the way. But when it was dark on the way back, this was before the GPS days, I missed the turn. I know that you're not going to believe it, but I missed the turn. And I was just driving. I'm in British Columbia, all these mountains around me. And I'm like, and then I looked at the gas tank. I was in somebody else's vehicle, and it was like right on empty. And Rebecca was young, and she was asleep in the seat beside me. And I'm driving along, and I'm praying, God, don't let her wake up, because I don't want her to feel how afraid I am. Because I had no clue where I was going. No clue. I mean, Ace has always tried to teach me north, south, east, west, but I just could never get it. And not only that, are you going to get out and scrape the side of a tree and see which tree moss is growing on? See which side? Oh, this is the north side. Well, it just didn't make any sense to me. And so I was driving and driving, and then I saw a cutoff that said gasoline. Well, this was like midnight, but I took a chance and I went that way, and I was so afraid, and I said, God, you gotta help me. And he spoke to me and he said, I am not gonna let you run out of gas. And that was pretty much all I cared for. I could drive around until the sun came up and then I could find my way home. But so I pulled into this gas station and I pretty much got out and kissed the guy and thanked him for being open and put gas in the car. And then eventually I did find my way back. But I don't know whether you know the feeling of what it's like to be lost. I mean, really lost, not just missed a cutoff, I can go to the next one, but totally lost. Maybe some of you have lost your children. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. But maybe some of you have lost your kids, you know, in Costco or a department store, and the fear that rises up within you, and the fright that is in those little children as well, that they can't find their parents, you know. There's just such this overwhelming feeling of being lost. Guys, we were once lost. We were in sin. We were in darkness. No matter how good you think you were, you were lost in sin and darkness, and Jesus Christ came and found you and set us free. Isn't that awesome? That's quite remarkable. It's so amazing. And so we learn that grace transforms us. Saving grace transformed us from being lost to being found, from darkness into light, transformed us from into being a son or daughter of God. That's what his grace has done. That's what grace has done. That's what grace has done. Jesus did it, but it was the power of his grace that transforms us. And so remember, there are manifold graces. There are many portions to grace, many types of different graces. And because the saving grace transformed us from darkness into light, the other graces transform us into the same manner, into whatever we need. Yesterday I had the opportunity, I was in a place called Townsend, Ontario, and I spoke at their Ladies' Day Apart, and it was quite interesting for me because I had my notes, I had my message, and I know they wanted a bit of a testimony, and I'm good with that. It's been a while since I've shared my testimony, but my testimony was included in this teaching that I was going to do on ladies have issues. And when I was driving, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to switch that around. I want you to share your testimony first. And so I did, and it took longer because there was just, the presence of God was strong in that room. And I have no idea, I never ask what denomination they are. I don't usually look them up on the internet to find out who they are because I don't want that to say, don't say this, don't say that, you know. I don't want to know, oh, they're, you know, strong Baptists, so, well, I won't raise my hands while they're worshiping. I just don't want that. You've asked me, this is who I am. And I'm not saying that I don't sometimes just tone it down a little bit. I do that because when in Rome, you know, and Paul said, you know, when I'm there, I minister to them. But anyway, it was really, really interesting as I shared my testimony. Again, I haven't done that for a long time. And I just was quite overwhelmed again with how I've been translated from darkness into light. That the life that I lived 40 some years ago is just gone. I don't even think like that anymore. And some of the things that I was saying, I thought I wanted to say, God, forgive me, you know, but he has already. But the transforming power of the grace of God is so amazing and so awesome. And we all need to be sharing our stories with people. It doesn't matter whether your story was like mine or not. We have a story. If we've gone from darkness into light, then we have a story. Amen? And so Paul was saying to the church in 1 Corinthians 5:1, Corinthians was a church that had problems. They got drunk and feasted at communion. So their communion service was not like a little shot. Oh dear, sorry. It was not just like a little drink of wine. Maybe the past isn't so far gone. Eh? And so they actually, you know, would take their wine and they got drunk. And then on the bread that was before them, they feasted. They came hungry. And so they feasted on that bread. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says that it was commonly reported among them. Not, you know, every once in a while someone would fall, but commonly reported among them that there was fornication and even homosexuality within the church that they never, ever addressed. They just let it happen. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:1, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something that even pagans don't do. I'm told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. And in the midst of all of that, I would think Paul would come and come with the word of correction, and he absolutely did. But in the midst and in the midst of all that, he talks to them about the Macedonian church and the grace that they had to give. And the Macedonian church had something special. Scripture says that they were bestowed upon with grace. And so Paul wanted the church at Corinth to look at this grace because the church at Corinth did not have giving grace. And sometimes we think our hearts just get tugged. Maybe we're watching a television evangelist and they ask for money for feed children here or there, to support an orphanage, whatever. And so that tugs on our heart, and so we give. And sometimes we think that, well, we do have to be careful that we don't give out of just our emotion. But sometimes things just tug on our heart. And I believe that that's just God's giving grace, just massaging our heart. And there have been times in this congregation that people have come and members of our congregation have had a great need, and you have your grace to give was bestowed upon you. I'm always so grateful because I believe that we do have giving grace. I believe that it can increase in each one of our lives, and we want it to because of what giving grace then produces. And there are absolutely some that have a special gift of giving, absolutely. But this kind of grace, if it was not available, if it was just a gift, you know, you have that gift, you know, you have that gift. But we can all have that giving grace. And so remember, too, that generosity is a mark of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe God uses stingy people. I think if we keep, and yeah, I'm talking about money this morning because that's what the scripture's talking about. It's not just talking about giving of ourselves, giving of service, etc., etc. Paul is specifically talking to the Corinth church about money, and he's saying they took up an offering because they were bestowed upon with the grace of God. So are we at number 5, please? The church in Macedonia had great trials. They didn't have great sin like Corinth had, but they had great trials. They were in great poverty. They were not a rich church. And they were in affliction, the scripture says. But they received grace. And remember, Paul knew that they received grace because they had great joy. So grace produces joy in our lives. You can't be filled with grace and be a miserable person. That's just, they just don't mix. And so Paul knew that they had grace because he saw their joy. And it's true that we can all do our part and we can all put some money in the offering when it goes by. But if there is a giving grace accompanied with it, there will be great joy that comes with giving. And when you're in poverty, what is grace? Grace is God's ability in you to do what you can't do. So grace is it for our strength? No. Grace is for our weakness. Grace is for our weakness. Our weakness is what we lack. So the church in Macedonia lacked finances. And God's grace was for that. Right? because grace is for the weak areas. Plugging it in for you? Grace is for the weak areas. So they were weak in their finances. Any weak in our finances? Yeah. And not when we have seasons. But we also have some seasons last longer than other, and sometimes the season of lack of finances lasts a long time. And so they were lack in their finances, and so guess what they needed? How can grace be for finances? Because there was a lack. Grace is for anything, because it's multi-manifold. It's got many folds in it. Why are you laughing at me? Many folds. So grace can be for our finances. Grace can be for your finances. And so I'll give you an example of my mom. Some of you remember Grams, as she was affectionately called here. She was a very, very joyful person, and she shouldn't have been. She had a very hard life. You know, my dad was not an easy person to live with. He was kind and loving, but he was also way out in left field in some of his adventures and some of the things that he did. But in the midst of it, she had great joy in the midst of her trials. You know, you hear those stories about kids in school, and you know, we tell our kids, I used to walk 4 miles one way, and I used to have to light the stove, and you know, for some of you that may be true. And it was true for my mom, because we lived on a farm outside of Caledonia, and she had to walk 1.5 miles every day, because we never had any appliance or any car or tractor that worked. There was always trouble. And I read scripture now and find out that is so contrary to the word of God. Seasons, yes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. And so, yeah, we have afflictions, we have trials, we have seasons in our life, but God, when weak areas, but God's grace is for those weak areas. Every weakness you have, every deficiency, everything that's empty, God's grace is for that. It's for your finances. His grace is for your health. His grace can heal you. It's His grace. And so my mom was always a tither. Always, always, always. And when Pastor Ace and I got saved, the first time we ever went to church, looking like two people from an outlaw motorcycle gang, long hair, colors on his back, you know, the club crest, you know, me looking like a biker chick, you know, bleach blonde hair, and well, some things don't change. But we gave. The offering went by and we put our tithe in. Not because the pastor told us. All he said was come to church. The Holy Spirit will show you everything else. And so because I grew up with that, you know, unlike the little boy I told you about last week who said, I'll put it on my dresser and if God wants it, he can come and get it. You know, it doesn't work that way. There's a giving in that. Right? And when the going is good, you can't really tell if you've got grace. It's when we have those trial areas, then that's when we need to remember to go and get the grace, and that's when we can see grace in the midst of it. Because when everything is going well for me, sure, I can be happy and jolly, and I can clap, and I can raise my hands, and, you know, I can do all that, but oh my gosh, you know, I'm smitten with sickness, or if I have a great lack in my life, the kids are messing up, am I still going to come? Yes, because I can be filled with grace. I can go and get the grace, and grace and joy are absolutely connected. And so the Macedonian church had joy even in their poverty, and yet in their poverty, say poverty, they didn't have any money. They didn't have an abundance. There was no extra. You know, we make those budgets up. I've never been able to make a budget because there's never been extra, you know. And so I just, okay, Jesus, you're going to have to do this. And I think budgets are great and awesome, but they've just never worked for me. And out of our lack, out of our need, we give. Not just out of our abundance. Yes, we give out of our abundance. But it's out of our need that we give as well. And so Paul was saying, Corinth, let me tell you about the Macedonian church. Here's a church that had great trials and great affliction and deep, deep poverty, and yet they gave and they had so much joy in their giving. In their poverty, weakness, lack, in their need, remember, beyond grace is, goes beyond our ability, because that's what grace is. And so in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3, it says, he's saying to the church in Corinth, when he's talking about the Macedonian church, that they gave beyond their power or their ability, and they were freely willing. Freely willing. So grace makes us willing. I think that's sometimes why we're afraid to go and get grace. Because if I go and get grace, I'm gonna be willing to do this, and I really don't even want to be made willing, you know? And so grace makes us willing. Verse 4 says, imploring us, the Macedonian church is giving to Paul and the ministry team, imploring us with much urgency, because you know what it's like when someone that you know is in poverty comes up and wants to bless you. There was a time in our life when we were in the Baptist church and the Holy Spirit laid on our hearts to bless the pastors with $100. And that was so huge to us, so, so big. And I think of it, I've thought of it before and thought, I wonder if that seemed kind of arrogant to them, because we asked if we could see them together as a couple. So they took us into the office and then we, you know, just said, we love them so much, we just want to bless you with this. And now, of course, you know, how many years ago was that? You know, 30 years ago. And yet now it seems so small. Such a small little gift, you know, this $100. And I've often wondered, because of course they blessed us and said thank you. I've often wondered. But a couple of years ago when I saw Mrs. Woods, she still remembered that. And she said, we were just so touched by the gift that you gave us. And it wasn't something that we had extra. The Holy Spirit just laid on our heart. And we just wanted to bless, because that's grace, isn't it? Just want to bless. We just want to give stuff. We just want to give things, you know. And then we also, for many, many years, supplied shoes for one of our pastors, that we would always buy them shoes. And I remember specifically the Holy Spirit saying, because you've done this, you will never lack in shoes. Yeah. And so I said, because Pastor Ace needed a new pair of shoes, and I said, well, Lord, what about Ace? He needs new shoes. And he said, then you provide. You be the one to provide. I'm like, oh, what a novel idea, buying shoes for Ace instead of me. But God has always provided, and it's because we've always given. This isn't a pat myself on the back or pat us on the back. This is the truth of the scripture and how it works out in our everyday life. Because if it doesn't work, then let's move on. Right? Let's be a Buddhist or a Jehovah's Witness or nothing. But the word works. And it's got to work in our everyday life. And grace works in our everyday life. And so here was this church in Macedonia, imploring them, right? Paul might have been saying, again, just filling in here, Paul might have been saying, you know what? I know that your church doesn't have much. You really don't give us, you don't even need to give us an offering. No, we want you to take it. Why? Why? Because they were bestowed upon with giving grace. You couldn't stop them from giving because it was just in them. Do you remember that old, you won't remember, but there was an old commercial that when you opened it, I think it said oink, and another can said, why don't you say beef, oink, because it's just not in me, because it was a can of pork. Nobody remembers that, do you? But, oh, thank you, Brian. And so that's what's in us, not beef or pork, but grace. Grace is in us. And so the grace of God is within us. And so we give, and we give joyfully. Right? Because that's what's in us. It's not hard. But we need to get giving grace. And so basically they begged Paul to take the money. And so here was Paul now telling a church that had, I think maybe I would have told them that they needed to get grace not to sin, and he did that. But here's a large portion of it where Paul is saying you need giving grace. And so that's what Paul was telling them. Certainly there seemed to be more important things to concern Paul. This church had major problems. So why are you talking about giving grace? Because if you don't have giving grace, ministry grace will not happen. You have to, you see, we get upset when we watch TV evangelists and we see all the stuff that they have. We see so-and-so, I'm just making this up because I don't know, driving a Mercedes. And so, why does he get that? Why doesn't he give that away? You have no idea how much he gives away. And maybe that's God returning it to him. So if you're one of those people, stop it and get the grace for it, right? Because you have no idea what goes on in an evangelist's life or a ministry's life. We have a connection with Jesse Duplantis, who is, I mean, we drove by their place with Brock and Rebecca, and Brock, do you remember, we drove by and Brock said, "Whoa, look at that place over there." And I said, "Oh, by the way, that's Jesse Duplantis' house, which I have been in and have had a tour." And he's got all these beautiful antiques. People give him stuff. He buys something, sure he does. Because, yeah, he's got money, he's got a plane, but he sows into ministry. When he comes to Brampton Church, there's no charge. He doesn't charge them for gas or fuel or anything like that. He just comes. He just blesses. Goes to third world countries, just goes and just blesses. Well, you know what? God says, "Oh, you're blessing, you're giving out. Now here, this is just like a chain reaction." You know those steel balls that there's about six of them and you click one and then they all click? Well, that's how God is with us. We give, bang, 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 bang. You give shoes, bang, 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 bang. That's what you get. Hallelujah for that. Thank you, Jesus. Right? So that's what happens. So these, I'll say in quotes, rich evangelists are givers, and bang, 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 God blesses. And we complain about it. Instead of us saying, praise the Lord, because if it can happen for you, it can happen for me, because God is not a respecter of persons. I just need to line up and do what you're doing, which is giving, giving, giving. And so God doesn't use stingy people. Because in order to get ministry grace, you've got to have giving grace. Because the Holy Spirit can't flow through those of us who are not generous. Now, generous for you and generous for me might be two different things, depending on what we get. So Corinth or Macedonia didn't have a ministry, but they wanted to support one that was already going. But how did they get the grace to give? Verse 5 says, they first, it's not up there, gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us. You here this morning have given yourselves to the Lord, and you have given yourself to this ministry. I don't really know on a regular basis about your giving, but I know that we're still here, you know. And when the deacons and I go over the finances, we just kind of are not really sure how God does it, but we are grateful. And so first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us. And once they gave themselves to us, then the giving grace kicked in. So they yielded. Remember, that's how we receive grace. We yield to God and we in fellowship prayer. So verse 6 says, so we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would complete this grace in you, Corinth, as well. So complete this grace, this giving grace. So because some of you might think, well, I'm not really sure what all this has to do with giving grace, ministry, and all that. But Paul is saying to Titus, We urged him that as he begun, he would complete this grace in you, Corinth, because we need giving grace. And so there are different types of grace, as we've learned, and there are different measures of grace, as we have learned. But Paul wanted them to have this grace that was bestowed upon them. 2 Corinthians 8:1 says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." And maybe that was one of Corinth's problem. Maybe they were stingy, and maybe they needed giving grace. Nothing goes right in the life of a stingy person or in the life of a stingy church. And if you've done the speaking circuit, you know there are stingy churches. There are churches that we went to that you drive all night, you preach 2 services, and the honorarium was, it didn't even cover the gas. And so, sure, that's not the reason you go. But nevertheless, a servant is worthy of his hire, the scripture says. And there are some churches that are quite ungenerous. And whenever they asked me this weekend, what do you charge? I said, I don't charge. I come for a love offering, and I hope you love me a lot. And so if we don't have enough grace to give, how do we have enough grace to care for men's souls? How will we ever have enough grace to minister to one another? Because we're stingy with this little gift that I have. So slide 7. But as you, he's talking to Corinth now, as you excel in everything, okay? It wasn't buttering them up, this was the truth. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, in the love that we've inspired in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So they abounded or excelled in faith. They had a lot of faith. And again, I said at the beginning, we're not comparing grace and faith. They're friends. And friends can never be compared. But they abounded in faith. They abounded in speech. They abounded in knowledge. They abounded in diligence. They abounded in their love. See that you abound also in this grace, which was the giving grace. And there's the word abound again, letting us know once again that there are different measures of grace. See that you abound in it. I don't want you to have just an inch of giving grace. I want you to abound in giving grace. So, again, I remember many years ago now, the person who did our finances, I talked to them and just said, you know, I'd really like to take the staff to this place for Christmas dinner. And he's like, oh, Pastor Joy, that is so expensive, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just said, I just want to bless. I want to bless our staff, you know. Please don't hinder me in this, but I really want to bless our staff. And so, of course, he, you know, led us and we did that. But because that was in me, I didn't want to be cheap. I didn't want to be stingy. And so different measures of grace. They were abounding in many areas, but they needed to abound in giving. And Paul was not into getting their money. That's not what this was about. And when the offering is passed, it's not a plot to get your money. It is, however, a plot for God to bless you and cause his flow of the Holy Spirit. And so we need giving grace. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did Jesus do what he did? He was full of grace. He's full of grace. Every question I ask you, the answer is grace. That's how he did it. He went to the throne of grace. Got grace to help, and so can we. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Grace. How do missionaries do it? How do missionaries give up everything? How do pastors do it? Not make big top wages. How do pastors do it? Grace. Grace. And if it's done by grace, There's going to be great joy in the midst of it. Now, having said that, you can be on the mission field or in ministry or be a pastorate, and you can start out that way, but you can also end up being depleted of God's grace. His grace can be poured out in vain upon you with no effect on you, because we back up from the grace of God and we start thinking, you know, nobody does this, people don't do this, I have to do this on my own, this is really hard, and missionaries, the natives aren't even receiving me. And so you can be depleted of the grace of God. And that's why we need to continually go to the throne of grace and get grace, grace, grace to help. Sometimes we need to do what the Old Testament talks about and give a shout of grace over our mountains. And so how did Jesus do all this? By grace, Hebrews 4:16. Paul says, I'm not commanding you, but I'm advising you, and I'm testing the sincerity of your love. Who would have thought the sincerity of our love is tested through our giving grace? If we love the church, we'll give. There doesn't need to be manipulation. I love the church. I love that the lights are on. I love this. I love that. And so, you know what? I'm going to give. That's the sincerity of our love. And so slide 8, grace and faith. Grace and faith. And so when it comes to giving, we see grace and faith mixed together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But I say, he who sows sparingly, you know this off the top of your heart, will also reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Do you believe that? Any believers today? Any bountiful sowers today? Listen, that's why when we have membership, in our membership, we say members need to be tithers. Need to be tithers. And so I say, he who sows sparingly, I'll read it again, will reap sparingly. If I plant one tomato plant, I will only get the produce from that one plant. So it's not hard. It's not rocket science, as Pastor Ace would say. But if I planted 10 tomato plants, my goodness, I'd have enough to give away, right? I would have enough to can and for my own needs and my own nourishment, but I would also have a more abundance to give away. So if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. That's a promise in the Word of God. We don't like to claim that one, but it's a promise in the Word of God. So there's the faith part. That's faith. If I sow sparingly or if I sow bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. It's not, I got a sign from God and got a sign from the Holy Ghost and I got this number in my head and I'm not going to give until I go to church before they take up the offering. God, you need to give me a number. He's given you a number, a tenth of everything that's yours. One dime out of every dollar, right? That's the number. Oh, come on, I'm preaching good. I might hit you where it hurts, right in your pocketbook, but it's for your benefit. It's beneficial. And so let him purpose in his heart. Don't do it grudgingly. I take up an offering every blessed Sunday. I can't stand it. Sometimes they even take up two offerings, but I'll put my money in anyway. That's grudgingly. Out of necessity. Well, the church has this need. Yeah, I want it to be warm today, so I'll put my money in. No! Don't do it out of those needs. God loves a cheerful giver. Hilarious giving. Right? We give out of hilarious. And that's the grace part. Cheerfulness, joy, grace. You had prayed for me this morning and said, no stone uncovered. And I want to tell you right in that prayer room there, I got another stone that lifted up. Went to my scriptures and looked and thought, there's the grace of God. I didn't know it was there. I don't have that one underlined in green. So I have all the, any time I stumble across grace, I underline it in green. No stone uncovered. So here's we talk about grace being connected with joy and joy being connected with grace. And here it is. God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because it's the grace that pours out of us. And so there's cheerfulness in the midst of it because of his grace. We give by grace. We sow by faith. And God is able, here it is, hallelujah, to make all grace abound towards you. Think of that basset hound running up, his back end swinging this way, that way, out of control. Abound to you that you always, say always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. When you're in fellowship prayer, when you're worshiping, his grace is abounding towards you. Always having all sufficiency in all things. Remember the measure. Now, it's just God's just topping it up here. You know that you can go and you can get $5 worth of grace. You can fill your tank with grace. It's your choice. And so we don't get an abundance just to upgrade our stuff. We get an abundance so that we can give it away. That's why we get an abundance. And giving grace precedes ministry grace. And so the way you get all grace is to get giving grace. It's all connected. All that scripture is connected to giving grace. Hear me. It's all connected to giving grace. There is no one. And it's not just my belief, it's scripture. There is no one that can't give money. What you give will be multiplied back to you. And so you start, if you don't already, and here's the challenge. You start by giving. Give a toonie if that's all you think you can afford. But remember, what if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Does it come overnight? Sometimes it doesn't. No, sometimes it doesn't. Because it's a race that we run. And it's a walk, right? It's not just, I'm doing this and so this is happening. No, because there's more going on than just God meeting our needs. There's more going on than that. And so, you see, we want ministry grace. We want to be able to pray, hopefully pray with people, pour out to people. But that doesn't come until there's giving grace. When we were, again, involved in traveling ministry, we had a number of churches that supported us. We had one man, Don Beckett, hired Pastor Ace, to, all he had to do was go to the office and win people to Jesus. All he did was talk to them, and he's good at that, isn't he? Wandered around. I don't think he had as many jokes back then as he has now, but he wandered around chatting with people, and then it would lead to, you know, their eternity, and he won, and God blessed him for that. When we wondered how could we go because churches were not, the churches we were going to and places we were going to were not very generous, not generous enough to support a full-time minister. He gave us a gas card and said, unlimited, just fill your tank whenever you need it. And there was a time several years later, he just said, I'm going to have to take the gas card back. And that was great because it was for a season. And that was because we sowed. Now, at that point, we were not necessarily maybe sowing, we're doing our tithing, but maybe weren't sowing above that. And so, but we were sowing in ministry. We were going and preaching and not getting much out of it financially from it. But God blessed us in another way because that's God. He'll just use you. And maybe some of you are even sowing into a ministry outside the Joshua Center. Sorry, erase that. Outside Core Church because God's laid that on your heart and you're blessing and you're helping them. And that's awesome and that's incredible. And so giving grace. Grace to minister is being poured out as you wait on him. If you can't handle the earthly things, you won't be able to handle heavenly things. And so we purpose in our heart to give. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us, given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace." By grace, comfort your hearts. Your heart need comforting? It's going to happen by grace. Going to establish you in every good word? It's going to happen by grace. Going to establish you in every good work? It's going to happen by grace. Comfort, good hope come from Jesus and God through grace. So, what does giving grace have to do with all the other graces? Because grace, giving grace produces hope. Giving grace produces hope. And remember, prayer produces grace. So our hearts are comforted. Our hearts are comforted because we have hope, right? That's what comforts our heart, is the hope. And then we're strengthened in every good word and every good work. So giving grace gives you the ability to give beyond what you are able. Purpose in your heart, for God so loved that he gave. Do we love enough to give? And then Philippians is a verse we often quote, says, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory." But we hang on that, but God supplies all our need according to his riches in glory after we give. Because if you read the context of that, it's talking about sowing and reaping in Philippians 4. And so, just like every other grace, Peter, remember, talked about grow in grace. And just like every other grace, we need to grow in the area of giving grace. Grace in every good word, every good work, and have his ability to do it with joy. So what I stumbled upon this morning was in Acts chapter 4. So church was growing and exploding. Chapter 4, verse 32. I don't have it on the overhead. "Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." I like all that. I like things, having things in common. I like the one heart, the one soul. I like the great power that the apostles are witnessing. They witness the resurrection. And then it says, "And great grace." There's the measure again. I talked to you about there's different measures of grace. So great grace was upon them all. "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds and all things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet," and etc. It goes on and on. But don't miss it in that passage. We study that passage about unity, one heart. We study that passage about them having all things in common, about the power that the apostles. But why and how did it happen? Because great grace was upon them all. Great grace, giving grace was upon them. They went and they took got their deed to their land and said, "Here it is. You sell it, you can have all the proceeds from it." How do they do that? Great giving grace was upon them all. So, like any other grace, it's just as we obey. So let me just give you quickly, again, I do not have this on the overhead, but I've got 10 things about grace and receiving his grace. Oh, is it up there? Did I put them up there? Oh, I'm smarter than I thought. Anyone can receive his grace and can receive grace in vain. Anyone can receive grace in vain. How does grace come? Grace comes as we wait on Jesus in fellowship prayer. But as that grace comes, we can receive it in vain. We can receive it and not do anything with that grace. Secondly, we can frustrate the grace of God. There are scriptures up there as well. We can fall from grace. We can fail of the grace of God. Be on the watch, it says in Hebrews 12. See that no one falls back and fails to secure the grace of God. And then it talks about bitterness. That's that's my testimony there. I had the grace of God. I received his grace when I was a little kid, and I asked Jesus to come into my life, went back in my bed and just laid there and prayed and asked Christ to come into my life, and he did, but I failed of the grace of God because of the bitterness that I allowed to come into my life. And then we can turn grace into lasciviousness, which is a person's behavior that is driven by thoughts of sex. Can you imagine? This is the grace of God we're talking about. But we can turn it into that. We can sin in spite of the grace of God. Paul says, what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace may multiply and overflow? He goes on to say, God forbid. And then number seven, we can continue or discontinue in grace. We can minister grace to others. We can grow in grace or we cannot grow in grace. You've had for 5 weeks the opportunity to grow in grace. And it's not just going to, it's not floating out in the air. You're not just going to catch it like you catch a cold. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to go after the grace of God. You're going to have to understand that you need the grace of God in this particular area. God, I need grace. So we can grow in it or not, and we can receive it. And we can, or we can reject the grace of God. You know that because when you try to witness to someone and bring them to the Lord, they say, no, I'm not ready. Well, they've rejected the grace of God. So I'd like you to, we're just going to have a time of worship and a couple of songs. The buckets are up here. I'm going to ask that today we be filled with the giving grace of God. We receive his grace to give. Amen. I'm not saying let's dig in your pockets and give more. This is your tithes and your offerings that you're bringing to the Lord. And I want you to know this morning that because you're doing that, you have the giving grace of the Lord this morning. And then as we all come, even if you say, well, you know, I give mine a different way, I'd like you to come as well, because then we're going to just lay hands on you, and there, we just want there to be an impartation of grace. I'm going to ask Pastor Ace and Linda to help me with that, and we'll just, that's all we're going to do. We're not going to cast out demons. Well, we might. If they show up, why not? But what I feel that the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning is just give an impartation of the grace of God in all of the areas that we talked about, not just about giving grace or finances, but just the grace of God. And then this concludes the grace series. Next week we have a guest speaker coming, and we're going to be excited about that. Amen. So let's stand together and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you this morning for your incredible grace on each one of our lives. I thank you for giving grace, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we are purpose in our heart to give, but we also purpose in our heart not to receive your grace in vain, not to frustrate your grace. Father, I ask for healing grace to come on those that need to be healed. I ask your healing grace as we lay hands on Karen this morning. I ask your healing grace to come. Others who need specific healing, I ask your grace to permeate this place this morning. And Father, we thank you. It's our joy, it's our delight to sow into the ministry of Core Church this morning. Thank you, God. Father, I want to thank you for people that already have given grace. And I pray, Father, that your grace would abound toward us today. That they would just abound toward us. There would be so much grace in Core Church, Father God. So much grace, Lord. So much grace for each other. Grace for each other. Grace to do what we don't have the ability to do. So much grace, Lord. So much grace. And we thank you for it. And we bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So why don't you come and bring your offering. We're going to play some worship. And then we're going to anoint you with oil. Thank you, Lord.